Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, the sounds of Monticello. A pair of new exhibits provides clues to the music favored by Thomas Jefferson, along with the sounds he didn't care to hear. And from the self-folding stroller to translators for crying, reviewing the sometimes ridiculous array of high-tech baby gadgets. But we begin earlier this month when the Manchester union leader reported on a backyard brawl between two household dogs. The pet owners dispute what happened, which pup was the aggressor, and whether their respective dogs were properly collared and leashed. What made the story newsworthy is all in the breeding. One of the dogs was a pit bull. In Maryland, common controversies surrounding the breed have jumped from the newspapers into a court of appeals, which recently ruled that pit bulls are, quote, inherently dangerous. First to fill us in on the legislation is Meredith Summers, general assignment reporter with the Washington Times Metro Desk. She's been covering the Maryland ruling. Meredith, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Now, was there a specific incident, complaint, or some kind of study that led the court to declare pit bulls inherently dangerous?
Yes, actually, all of the above. According to the very long summary from the Court of Appeals, in the last 13 years, there's been at least 7 on-record pit bull maulings that have been significant enough to require hospitalization. And this decision happened out of a case about 4 years ago when this 10-year-old boy was walking down the street with his friend, and all of a sudden a pit bull jumped like a 4-foot fence and attacked the two boys, and one of them, he was attacked so severely, his mother said he was just covered in blood. He ended up in the hospital for 17 days, multiple surgeries, and the parents had attempted to sue for medical bills from the owners. The owners ended up going bankrupt, and so they sued, in turn, the landowner where the pit bull was living. And for the past 4 years, this has just been going back and forth, up and down through the appeals process. The family's attorney said they still haven't been paid any hospital bills, and so the court decided, well, this was a pit bull, and that's sort of what stemmed from it, that here was this pit bull, regardless of how nice he was or how nice his name was, his name was Clifford, which sounds harmless enough,
yeah.
That, you know, this pit bull totally destroyed this family's life, and that was really the catalyst for this decision.
How does the ruling affect, then, pit bull owners and breeders? And you just mentioned landowners.
Yeah. Well,
What's going to happen here?
Yeah, there's already been several rallies from pit bull owners who say, you can't do this. This is punishing the dogs, when you should be punishing the owners who don't train their pit bulls correctly. I've heard so many different stories about these loving animals that will cuddle up with their little babies and are just the most loyal part of the family. But now a lot of owners are going to have to consider, well, should I get higher pet insurance? Because God forbid my dog attacks somebody, even if he has no record of violence. Shelters are worried that they're going to see a big influx of pit bulls coming in from owners that can't afford to keep them or pay insurance. And a lot of multifamily housing units, apartment complexes, condos are also having to rethink, well, are we going to up our insurance payments, or are we even going to allow pit bulls into our buildings?
Well, Meredith, thanks for the update on the local ruling there. Well, actually, it's a court of appeals, so federal ruling. A link to Meredith's article, Pit Bull Opinion Triggers Protest, from the Washington Times, is at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks again, Marilyn.
Sure,
Meredith, I'm so sorry. I'm confusing your name in the state, and I have a name that is a state. Joining us now is Jim Gorant. He's a senior editor for Sports Illustrated and author of The Lost Dogs, Michael Vick's Dogs and Their Tale of Rescue and Redemption. Thanks so much for joining us, Jim.
My pleasure.
Now, this isn't the first instance of breed-specific legislation. Ohio had similar legislations on the book. Is that correct?
Yes, far as I know, Ohio had a similar legislation and recently repealed it. The idea, and this is the sort of big debate within the dog community, and hopefully in a larger community as well, is that branding a specific breed is not really effective in many ways, and that what you need to do is punish acts, not single out a particular breed. And so Ohio had just...
Jim Gorant, are you still with us? I believe we've lost the line to Jim Gorant. Is Meredith still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay. Meredith, I'm wondering about the local reaction to the ruling.
Sure. Well, obviously dog owners are very upset about it. And actually, the Maryland General Assembly was back in a special session to help close our budget. And at the time, a handful of delegates pushed forward their own emergency legislation focusing on pit bulls. One gentleman, actually, Herb McMillan, who is a pit bull owner, came up with it's called the Maryland Dog Discrimination Act, which would take out the line about a specific dog breed being inherently dangerous, because some people are comparing it to a form of racism, because here you are singling out not only a pit bull, but the gray area here is it also includes pit bull mixes. So where do you draw the line at a pit bull mix? Is it 90% pit bull and 10% lab? Is it 50% pit bull and 50% golden retriever? And other dog owners are saying, well, I own a Rottweiler, I own a German Shepherd, these dogs that tend to be a little bit more, can do more damage than a Chihuahua or a pug or something like that. Right. So there's this huge gray area that a lot of legislators are hoping to get rid of. So they're back in session again in July, and I believe some of these guys are trying to get rid of that breed-specific part of the legislation.
Meredith, I'm curious about, there must have been evidence presented in court that helped the court decide on inherently dangerous. What do we know specifically about the behavior or habits or biology of the breed?
Well, the one thing that stands out, at least for me and for a lot of the judges in their ruling, was that pit bulls, when they bite, because dogs, they bite, it happens. But pit bulls, when they bite, they're by nature, they bite and they tear, which does a lot more damage than a quick nip to get your hand away from their food or something like that. And even the Center for Disease Control has done studies on the number of maulings and fatalities, and every year there's always pit bulls that end up in one of the larger majorities for being involved in a mauling or an injury. Mm-hmm. So there's unfortunately some history of these dogs doing a lot of damage, whether that's because it's a bad owner or just by the fact that they're built like brick houses. Mm-hmm. They're a lot larger than a Chihuahua or something like that. They've unfortunately got history against them in this case.
Well, I know it's also associated with who owns these dogs. I mean, we were reading in the Huffington Post that R&B singer Chris Brown, he was selling pit bulls for $1,000 a piece. Now, this is propagating the stigma of pit bulls as an animal owned by bad boys. So what do we know about, how they're trained? The nature versus nurture question. Anything in the court case come up that would reveal anything about that?
Well, actually, one of the judges had even put a footnote into the case that said, we know we're going to upset a lot of people with this, and there are going to be owners that say, we have the nicest dog ever. And the judge said, that's the whole idea, is that we're not punishing bad dogs, we're punishing bad owners. And the 10-year-old boy who's the attorney for the family, he said that if you own a pit bull and it's a good dog, then this really shouldn't even affect you, because you won't have to use that insurance. You won't have to ever worry about your dog biting somebody. This is to punish the people who are bad owners of these dogs, because it's a powerful dog, and it can be a fatal dog in some cases. And so this case is supposed to get those bad owners in check, or perhaps make them think twice before deciding to purchase this dog that has some sort of cultural significance.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks so much for sticking with us. Really appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Meredith Summers. She wrote about the pit bull opinion triggers protest for the Washington Times. We have a link to it at Word of Mouth. And so sorry that we didn't get Jim Gorant back on the line. We hope to speak to him at a further time. Now coming up, a car reviewer takes on mommyhood, and with it, the high performance promises of baby gadgetry. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a minute.